All right, it's Sunday morning, and I always love to talk some baseball. And the perfect guest is Joe Sheehan. And I must say, Joe, we welcome you to the show. And let me say this about you. The newsletter you put out, the Joe Sheehan newsletter, is absolutely the best thing out there in baseball. I look forward to it. It's a great analysis. You've been through baseball, sabermetric books. You work with SI. You're on it every day. Joe, how do you get this stuff out every day? It's an amazing amount of baseball that you put out.
Well, I'm really a terrible person to my friends, so that's what I do. I just ignore all my friends and my family, and I just write about baseball. I'm just kidding, Marty. I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to infer that you just said that I'm better than Mike Trout. So
there's no question. Your WAR is better. You know, you have an incredible WAR. Let's put it this way. I'd say your WAR is probably about 20, so let's say that. But really, the newsletter is terrific, and it's the Joe Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N newsletter, and you can check it out on the internet. It's really worth getting. But let's talk a little Giants baseball with you. And when I first emailed you this week, I was thinking about Matt Duffy in the number three spot and how he stacks up. How does he stack up with other number three hitters? Because he's doing a great job for the Giants, setting the table for the big boys after him. But how does he look as a three hitter?
Yeah, he's a little bit below par. I mean, his numbers are roughly what you're getting from number three hitters around the league, a little bit better slugging. But one of the things you have to consider is that, you know, he hasn't hit number three throughout the year. Lineups are a little more fluid than they used to be. I mean, you don't see a whole lot of teams like the Mid-Yost Royals last year just running the same nine guys in the same nine spots out. But Duffy, obviously one of the better stories this year, actually a contender for the National League Rookie of the Year, which we're going to look back in 20 years, and we're going to look at this rookie crop and just be astounded by it. So for the fact that Duffy is playing to that level, it says a lot about him. But as far as the number three hitter is concerned, yeah, I would call him an average number three hitter if you say that his performance this year is who he is. I think the real question about Duffy is this the hitter he's going to be, or is this kind of a fluke season?
Are the signs there, and again, you're a sabermetric expert. What do the peripherals say about Duffy as predicting a future for him?
Fundamentally, the thing I'm most concerned with when I look at a hitter is management of the strike zone. I'm always going to look at a guy's strikeout rate and his walk rate to see, you know, can he discern a ball from a strike? Is he disciplined up there? Does he get himself into good counts? And, you know, through basically a year of playing time, Matt Duffy's 77 strikeouts and 17 walks. Now, even in today's game, where, you know, when we walks are basically at an all-time low, strikeouts are at an all-time high, 77-17, it's below average. It's not a good number. Duffy's done a very good job when he's gotten the bat to the ball. You know, the 33 extra base hits is a great number, especially in that ballpark. Nine home runs, he's slugging. But I am concerned about his ability to maintain a 300 batting average when he's posting a 4-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. That's my biggest concern with him right now.
All right, great. Joe Sheehan with us, Sheehan Newsletter. It's absolutely terrific. I look forward to getting it every day. For this kind of information, it's really good. All right, the Giants as a whole. I call them the Magnificent Seven, and I think there's seven teams for five spots. Washington and the Giants may be at the bottom of the list right now. How do you see it going into this part of August? Five spots, you got seven teams. How do you handicap this thing?
Yeah, I still, as much as the Mets have been a great story here over the last week, I just look at the raw talent between the Giants, the Mets and the Nationals, and I think the Nationals end up winning the division and pushing the Mets out of first. Their game out in the loss column now. You know, we haven't seen the Nationals all year long. They literally have not put their projected starting eight on the field at once. Injuries to everybody at one time or another, except Bryce Harper. You know, a lot of the guys that they counted on to be the core of their offense. Ryan Zimmerman, Jason Worth, Ian Desmond have either been injured, hurt, or both. I feel like we're going to see that 10 out of 11 run. Maybe it started yesterday with that Strasburg return, but I think we're eventually going to see that run out of them. And they'll get to 87, 88 wins. I'm not sure the Mets can actually get there. You talk about the Giants. You know, I had the Giants and the Pirates in the wild card game again. And the Cubs, I give the Cubs a lot of credit this year. They saw themselves as having a chance, and they've been incredibly aggressive with Bryant, with calling up Russell, with calling up Kyle Schwarber now. They've pushed their talent to the major leagues because they say the talent's ready, it can help us at the major league level, and we can win here. And I think that's the difference between Cubs' preseason projections and where the Cubs are right now. You know, the Giants, obviously this is a tough week for them. And this is a terrible matchup for the Giants because they just – you beat this young Cubs team with power – and the Giants just don't have that kind of rotation. We've seen Heston get knocked around. We've seen Matt Cain get knocked around yesterday. There was a stat going on. Darren Willman, who runs a site called BaseballSavant.com, sent out the number of pitches teams have thrown 95 miles an hour or greater. And the Giants were 29th in baseball, ahead of only the A's. And they were far behind the 28th team. This is not a staff that throws the ball hard, and that's what you need to beat the Cubs. So a bad matchup this week, but still 50-odd games to go. If they can get healthy, hopefully they're going to get Hudson back here later in the month. Andrew Susak coming off the DL. I still think this is going to be a great three-team race for the two wild cards.
Wow, great. Joe Sheehan with us. Mike Leake, and Tracy Ringlesby had a nice article today, as he does on Sunday, and he listed all the pitchers that were traded. And, of course, David Price off the charts. Two great games for Toronto. I want to get your opinion on Toronto as well. But Latos, Wood, Cueto, Hamels, Dan Haran, Mike Leake, who's got the hamstring, and J.A. Happ. Not a lot of pitchers have made a big difference other than David Price and all these trades.
You were two starts in for most of these guys, in some cases only one. And really, any individual player is only going to have so much of an impact over a two-month period. Price, well, that's why you're better off trading for the top of the market. You go out and get a Price. You go out and get a Cueto. They can make you a lot better. A lot of these other spots, particularly the Happ trade, that was to patch. There was some panic over A.J. Burnett's health. Leake was somebody the Giants went after in part because they were concerned about a couple of their pitchers. I really like Mike Leake. I think that, for what he is, he doesn't have the kind of upside some of these other guys do, but takes the ball every day, gives you 6 to 7 innings. A good athlete, a good hitter. He's always been good at fielding's position, one of the better hitting pitchers in the game. Reminds me, on the mound, a lot of Tim Hudson, who's more or less kind of replaced here. And I think if he can get healthy, get that hamstring straightened out, he'll be an asset for this team down the stretch.
All right, Toronto. There's romance in baseball. There's always the new trade, the new guy comes in and leads you to the pennant, or the kid comes up from the minor leagues from nowhere and all of a sudden does things. And here's Tulowitzki, well-known, and he goes to Toronto like with a new lease on life. Price is there. LaTroy Hawkins, I can't believe he's still pitching. They've got Pennington now. Is Toronto a legitimate team? And I look at their pitching and say, boy, if they get in a wild card game, Price pitches it. What do you do after that? But that's the Giants actually suffered through that last year with Bumgarner. How good is Toronto?
I think right now they're the best team in the American League. In fact, as soon as you kick me off the air here, I'm actually heading over to the stadium to get a good look at them today.
Oh, good. Okay.
They were already a very good team. They actually led the American League in run differential before acquiring Price and Tulowitzki. They'd had some bullpen issues that affected them early in the year, so their record wasn't as good. But now you're talking about adding Price and Tulowitzki to a team that was already very good. And as it is, they're missing their second baseman in Devin Travis. They're missing their projected center fielder in Michael Saunders. This team can actually still get better. They closed the gap to 2.5. Regardless of what happens today, they still have 10 games with the Yankees. I think they're going to win the division. And they've actually got a chance here. Not a great chance. They probably aren't going to catch the Royals for best record, but it wouldn't surprise me to see the Blue Jays actually end up with the second best record in the American League.
Boy, Estrada and Tanaka today. And we've seen Estrada with the Brewers, and he was pretty good with the Brewers. And he's had a couple of good games here against Tampa Bay. He almost no-hit him a perfect game a couple of times.
Yep.
So we get to see him today. Joe Sheehan with us, the Sheehan newsletter, and you can read him in SI as well. Joe, the St. Louis Cardinals. I want to touch a little more National League with you, the Cardinals and the Dodgers. I look at the record today, and I'm saying 71-39. My goodness, they could win 110 games. Are they that good?
Well, the run prevention has just been amazing. They haven't given up a run now, I believe it's since Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. Getting Jamie Garcia back really bolstered the rotation. This was a team that after Wainwright got hurt, we had all kinds of questions about, could the rotation hold up? I still think they're going to have to manage innings here. Talk about Michael Wacha, who had the shoulder problem last year. Talk about Carlos Martinez, who hasn't had a full year in the rotation. I would not be surprised to see them, with the lead they're going to have in this division, hopefully, to be able to kind of manage some of the innings here. Really, John Lackey and Lance Lynn are the only pitchers they have right now who've gone full seasons through the rotation. So, can they win 110 games, 105 games? Sure. Is it going to be in their best interest to do that? Probably not. My guess is they'll get to the middle of September. They'll have basically locked up the division, which is saying something over a very good Pirates team. And they'll be able to cruise down the stretch. The last 2 weeks of their season won't be they won't have to win. They'll be in position to kind of rest guys and prepare for the playoffs because, you know, it's one of the big changes now, Marty. You know, teams don't have to win 105, 110 games. It's all about October now, not as much about the regular season.
Boy, they're a little vulnerable to lefties, I will tell you that. They had a little stretch there a couple of months ago where lefties just were eating them up. So maybe you better have left-handed pitching if you're going to deal with the Cardinals. That's one thing I did notice. All right, Giants-Dodgers. Now, of course, you have the Giants projected into a wild card with Pittsburgh. What about the race? It's only three between them. Kershaw and Greinke, my opinion is they got to win every game they pitch because the rest of the rotation is suspect. And they just haven't – there's something about them. You just look at the way they play, the team, Jimmy Rollins. Are they that good? And what about Giants-Dodgers?
You know, the front line talent on the Dodgers matches up with anybody. Kershaw, Greinke, you look at the, you know, Adrian Gonzalez having the comeback season. However, I agree with you. You look at the performance of the bullpen in front of Kenley Jent, who's fantastic in the ninth inning. That's been an issue for them. They've also had, you know, they're not a great defensive team. Peterson has made them better. Peterson, replacing Kemp with Peterson is a fairly large upgrade. But, you know, you got Jimmy Rollins at shortstop, who's far from the player he was even 2 years ago. And that's hurting them defensively. And I'm surprised they've gone with Rollins this long. They've got Corey Seager in the minor leagues. They just traded for Jose Peraza from the Braves. They have options. And I'm just Rollins is hurting them. Rollins is just flat out hurting them at shortstop. So that's one of the reasons this race has been as close as it is. Getting Latos and Wood, though, bolsters the rotation. I think that's going to be enough of a separator. As we talked about, you know, the Giants have had so many injuries that I can't see them getting to the 92, 93 wins I expect the Dodgers to get to win the division.
All right. Great point. Great point. Rollins, Don Mattingly says he's a veteran. He's been down the stretch before, and they want to go with him. And I guess that's the answer to that. Stretch baseball, they like the veterans. How many wins do you think it's going to take to get this wild card? Pittsburgh obviously has the handle on it now. They got the six-game lead over the Giants, and they're 3.5 over the Cubs. How many wins do you think it'll take for the two wild card teams?
You know, typically in the National League, it's high 80s. You know, I want to say it was 88 and 74 last year. I feel like you're going to have to get to 90 this year. These three teams, the Pirates, Cubs, and Giants, are probably the best NL wild card race in terms of quality of teams that we've seen. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to get to 90. And that's something that, obviously, the Pirates are going to be there. The Pirates, Marty, Pirates are, what, the fifth best team in baseball? Fourth, depending on how seriously you take the Blue Jays right now. And, you know, then you get the Giants and the Cubs, who are really completely different teams. One is very young and get a lot of pub, and, of course, the Giants are just grinding along. Hey, we've won three championships in 5 years with the same core. So you don't get as much. I feel like the Giants, and I know this in my own writing, I haven't written about the Giants very much this year because this feels like just another Giants season. Same guys playing pretty good baseball. Bochy's running things well, and come September, they'll be in the playoffs. I kind of feel like that's a weakness on my part, but when teams do the same thing every year, we don't write about them as much. So I think 90 is going to be the number.
All right, very good. Just looking at my list here, in the West today, Dodgers lost two straight, Giants three straight, Arizona three straight, one last night. They lost last night. San Diego's lost five, and Colorado's lost one. It's a division that's kind of limping along right now.
Yeah, and the Padres, one of the big stories of the year. First, yeah, they did the big winter, but even you could see in the winter they hadn't really built a team so much as a collection of famous guys. The defense crippled them throughout the year. They made a very strange decision 2 weeks ago to not actually sell at the deadline, and basically they've fallen apart. When the Phillies come into your house and start beating you up, that's a very bad week.
Yeah, they do. Hey, look, the Phillies took care of the Cubs. You know, Cole Hamels threw a no-hitter. They beat him, and all of a sudden the Cubs ended up in Milwaukee, and everything looked better after that, and they split in Pittsburgh, and they come home, and they wallop the Giants, and it looks like the 1908 Cubs are back.
Wow. I think this team's already scored more runs than the 08 Cubs did. That was the year they got beat by the Hitless Wonders in the World Series, and I'm sure everybody's loving us talking about 1908 baseball right now.
Well, look, I can bring it up on my show. First, it was 1906, the Hitless Wonders, but that's okay. You're a young man. I understand that. You're a young man. All right, I'm going to give you a mulligan. I'm going to give you a mulligan. It was Tigers-Cubs. Tigers-Cubs in 1908. But go ahead. I'm going to give you a mulligan. Who would you pick today as your two World Series teams? Because I know earlier in the year, in the spring training, everyone was all over Washington, Boston, really crazy picks. But who would you pick today?
it's tough. I find it hard to believe that Kershaw is going to have another bad postseason like he did. He's a great pitcher, and just kind of go with that track record. The Dodgers will be very difficult to beat going Kershaw, Greinke, Wood in a short series. Mm. So I'm going to say Dodgers right now, and then in the American League, it's just flat out wide open. I guess I'll go with the Blue Jays because they could walk into a series, score 55 runs in six games, and they're just that good offensively.
Wow, what a pleasure. But, hey,
it's a postseason. Anything can happen.
I know. Well, we've seen that for sure. And what a pleasure. As I say it again, Joe Sheehan, I love having you on, and I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the game today, and we'll catch up with you here in a few weeks. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
As always. Boy, very good. That's a baseball conversation on a Sunday morning. All right, more coming up right here in the Sports Leader.